and over.
Amen. Amen. Let's give a hand for the pastors and the ministers that are the glue that keeps everything together. Now, yeah, we're the goop. And we need the goop. We need more goop. You know, you're here for a reason, and it's a special day for you here. And I hope and pray that God touches you in a very special, unique way. Whatever your heart has come and you came before Him, I hope and pray that He answers your heart and feeds you and allows you to be able to see and hear. First, I want to open up and thank the Lord for the grace that has been given to me. It hasn't been given by man, and it hasn't been taught. It has been given by, I would say, divine intervention. And I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for the grace that He gave me. So, with that, I feel it's an obligation to teach and to give you this grace, to let this grace be given to you, because it's the power of salvation. We are saved by grace, and without grace, we can't be saved. And so I want to start out with a scripture verse in, I want to say, Romans, or no, 2 Corinthians. And this is a major verse that kind of is a mirror image of myself in this ministry. But before I read this verse, I want to first explain what is the purpose of church or ministry. What is the purpose of even having a relationship with God? What is the purpose of being on this earth? What, to just wake up every morning, try to establish some type of life, and then leave this earth in the ground, you know, and hope that we go to some place that's divine or spiritual or paradise? We're here to be changed. We're here to be renewed. We're actually here to be transformed. And this is one of the reasons why we speak what we speak. To give you grace so that you receive grace not only for salvation, but you receive grace for transformation. If we're not changing, we're not serving a purpose. We all should come to a different place in life. When we were younger, we were at a place in life, amen? When we reached a certain age, we came to another place in our lives. And then when we reached an elderly place, then we came to another place in our lives. And you can see a natural way of changing, but we got to come to a spiritual place. And come to a spiritual place of change. We got to come to a spiritual place of transformation. And you're not too young. And you're not too old. We need to come to a place of a spiritual transformation. And the only way that we can be transformed is through grace. And grace is a knowledge, a spiritual knowledge, to get our minds renewed and our heart renewed. You know, the scripture says that our hearts are deceivingly wicked. Well, I want to agree with it, but then at the same time, I want to disagree with it. In one respect, I want to agree with it because of the fact that it's deceived. Our hearts are really your feelings. But our feelings are deceived by the thoughts of our mind. And because we don't have grace, that grace doesn't renew our minds. Grace is a knowledge that transforms the way we're thinking. Our feelings are good, but sometimes our feelings get altered, and then you have to ask yourself, well, why are you feeling this way? Most of the times, our feelings should be full of joy and peace and happiness. Our feelings should be uplifted. When our feelings are uplifted like that, we come to a place. We call that place the kingdom of God or heaven or even paradise or whatever you want to call it. But when your feelings are sad, disturbed, upset, you're actually living in a bad place. And it's not healthy for you. And you're not allowing grace to wash over you. You're not allowing grace to come into your life. You're not allowing grace to come and change the way you're thinking. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? This is what it means by being saved by grace. Grace changes your heart. Grace changes and alters your heart so that you can become strong. I want to really talk about power today. I want to talk about why we need God in our lives so that we can receive power, so that we can overcome, and we can be strengthened, so that we can wake up every morning and accomplish things, so that we can move according to the heart, because God gave us a law, a heart, and His word is inside of us, and He called all of us to abide by some calling, whatever it may be. And the outcome of your calling, whether it's career-oriented or ministry-oriented or whatever it is, it all goes, and the end of it gives God glory. The end of it glorifies God, because you're not able to accomplish what's inside of you. We have two parts. We have a soul and we have a spirit. Most of us are living in a soul. We're not living in a spirit. We're living in a soul. And that soul is lost until God reaches out, finds us, because first of all, I came to Him because He loved me first. How many people understand that one? And so because we are enlightened by His love, and He loved us first, we come to Him because He showed us love. Somehow or another, God touched our lives in a special way, and then we experienced His love. I have individuals say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in God. And I say to them, because God doesn't exist in your life. Even though you know of Him, He doesn't exist, because He never really touched your life. He never really showed you His love. As soon as He shows you His love, He will be real. I tell my children, I say, you want to see God, see me. Because if you see me, you see my love, then you see God. When I leave, you'll see me. And then you'll know. You'll know Him. That's the way it's supposed to be. Sam, we might have to turn some of that down a little bit. We're going to chill some people out. With that being said, we have to come to a place of being changed. And that change only comes through grace. That's how we get saved. So there's two parts of us. There's a soul, and that soul is lost. That soul is dying. And the only reason why that soul is lost and it's dying is because it has no knowledge of grace. The soul is operating under feelings. What moves you? Think about it. What inspires you and moves you? I'm going to tell you, I'm moved by my feelings. If I feel something, I'm going to be moved by my feelings. Good or bad, it don't matter. I'm being moved by my feelings. Now, if I was just in a soul, my feelings could be deceivingly wicked. My feelings could feel bad and make me think a certain way and react a certain way that may not be healthy. How many people understand that one? My feelings create desires. My feelings create desires. And my desires, because if I don't have grace, my thought patterns can change my desires into lustful passions, self-willed interest. It could change my things, and that's where, because of not having grace, our desires then birth sin. And then that sin creates death. How many people understand this? Okay, it's very important to follow what is being said so that we can lay a foundation based on God's power and His grace. We need His power and we need His grace. And the only way that we can be saved is through grace, because grace gives us power to overcome our feelings. Listen, your feelings are very powerful. It falls under the soulish realm of will. You have willpower. How many people understand that you have willpower? That means that when you have willpower and you don't understand grace, your feelings can overpower you and make you do things you don't want to do. That's why Paul says, "Why do I do the things that I don't want to do and I keep doing them?" It's because he had a soulish realm that was inside of him and he was lacking grace. He didn't understand his feelings and he wasn't able to have the knowledge of grace to actually tell his feelings to back off, to stop thinking the way you're thinking. Your heart is causing you to react in an unethical way. Your heart is beginning to react in an unethical way. It's causing your heart to make accusations, judgments. It's causing your feelings to do things that you don't want to do. How many people understand where I'm coming from? With grace, the saving grace, it transforms our soul into spirit. And most of the time, 99.9%, When you transform into spirit, you're no longer thinking of yourself. You're thinking of others. You're thinking about how it might hurt yourself, for one. You're not thinking of yourself. You're thinking about not hurting yourself. You're starting to think that, wow, if I react this way, there's repercussions. There's things that could happen, and I could lose my job, or, you know, I could lose my marriage, or it actually helps you to be protected. How many are following on here? Because you can do things based on your feelings, and then the reaction behind it will hurt you. The reason why is the soul is connected to darkness. That's why we're lost. Darkness wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Even though it plays like it's your best buddy, and nobody knows, and nobody understands, and you have that place of self-pity that nobody, you know, understands your trials and your sufferings. And has anyone ever trapped or fell into those self-pity moods that nobody understands your situation and your circumstances, and you're the only one that, you know, is going through like the hardship of life? That's soulish realm. That's the soul. That's your feelings without grace. I want to remove that soul. I hope and pray that these messages will begin to want you to desire grace. We need grace. It's the saving power. It's the saving power. Grace, allows us to correct ourselves. For example, if I get angry, I'm going to tell you right now, being angry is not wrong. You can get angry all day long. I want you to get angry. It shows that you're alive. It shows that you are real. It shows that you care. There's nothing wrong with anger. You know what's wrong with anger? Lack of grace. Where you start yelling, screaming, where you rant and rave, where you gotta punch a hole in the wall, where you gotta show your machoism, where you gotta like try to be something that you're not. I'm trying to get my point across, and I yell louder and louder and louder. That's no, you don't have grace. You're lacking grace. You can be angry, but not sin. You can be angry, but not sin. How many people are hearing this? Because you know how many people condemn themselves because they got angry? What you're saying is you're denying your feelings. You're denying your heart. You're denying your emotions. And that's wrong. You're denying your life. You need a life. God didn't raise us up to not be without a life. And a life is emotions. Salvation is grace with this life. What happens is you're angry with grace. You're angry. But you don't raise your voice. You express yourself. Listen, right now I'm angry. I'm very upset about what you did. What you did, I am not happy with, and I'm a little upset. You voice yourself. It's like getting it off your chest, but yet without showing the soul realm of, I guess you want to say, immaturity. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? It's very important to understand grace. Because grace allows you to feel good about your life. And it doesn't condemn you for feeling the way you're feeling. Here's another one. Because I'm going to take some obvious ones. We all have anger. We all, men, you look at a pretty woman and you say, "Woo, she's pretty." And then next thing you know, you start condemning yourself. Oh, I shouldn't be looking at her. Oh. And you keep hitting yourself because, you know, you want to be right in the eyes of God and you want to, you know, live according to Him and everything else. And you start beating yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Grace says she's an attractive woman, but I'm taken. You know, I hope the best for her. I hope she finds, you know, a really nice man. And women, same thing with you. Oh, he's a good-looking guy. Oh, but I can't look. I can't think that way. Listen, how many people drive themselves nuts over this one? I know I did when I was younger in the Lord. You know, I wanted to walk in His holiness and everything else. And I'd be driving down the road and I'd see a good-looking girl. Woo, wow, look at her. Oh, my God, I shouldn't be doing that. Shouldn't be looking. And I condemned myself. I constantly condemned myself until God gave me grace over this. And then I look and I say, what a nice piece of artwork. I say, that's a really nice-looking artwork. That's some eye candy there. Way to go. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. All you ladies out there, keep up the good work. All you men out there, keep up the good work. Let's have a life. How many people are beginning to understand where I'm coming from? Okay, here's another one. How about like treating yourself to good things? Those that have the ability to treat yourself with good things. How many people tend to beat themselves up because you went and did something good for yourself? Don't feel that way. If God supplied some blessings in your life, rejoice. This is grace. See, some of us would just beat ourselves up because it'd be like, oh, you know, I can't do this for myself. It's not right. It's not good. How many people have been caught in that one before? Let's be real. Okay. We need to have a life. And this life comes through grace. And grace is a knowledge of being able to understand your feelings and then not allow your thoughts to alter your feelings. We need to be able to bring our feelings into a realm of grace so that we can have a life. It's all about having a life. God made you special, and He made you feel the way you're feeling. So the way you're feeling is not bad and not wrong. Especially those who want to start living a holy life, you know, they start beating themselves up and they start condemning themselves. And I believe this is a big part of why people don't want to come to church. I believe a lot of people don't come to church because they don't want to change the way they feel. And it's like, wait a minute. It has nothing to do about changing the way you're feeling. It's about understanding grace so that you can alter your thoughts so it doesn't, your feelings don't get you in trouble. That's what it really comes down to. It's to where grace works your feelings out and then allows you to be able to discern desires, and then your desires, you can filter it out and be able to change it before it births sin. How many people are grabbing that? That's what it's all about. See, the world is not full of sin. They're full of soul without grace, not sin. This old wine has to go. You're all sinners. You're all sinners. You're just all no good, rotten sinners. People today are not coming to hear that. They don't want to hear that they're sinners. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not. So if you're listening out there, I want you to know, you've been living under an old wine. And you're wearing old wineskins. And it's time to strip off the old wineskin and spew out of your mouth the old wine. Because that old wine is not bringing you to grace. It's not bringing you into salvation. It's not allowing you to have a life. What it's doing is it's condemning you, not allowing you to receive power so that you can like yourself and enjoy who you are. How many times have you condemned yourself because you lost your anger? And then you feel guilty and bad. For what? I want us to rise up. You have every right to feel the way you feel. Righteous. Righteous judgment. That's what it's about. That's why you felt that way. Look, I get angry at myself a lot of times. Man, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done that. Grace doesn't condemn me. Grace makes that opportunity come around again, and grace gives me the wisdom to deal with it. This is why it's so important for us to understand grace. Grace is the power of transformation. I used to be this person, and now through grace, I'm this person. Through grace, I'm more loving. Without grace, oh, I'd rip your face off. You see? Through grace, I was unlivable, undealable, erratical, like a bull in a china shop. But through grace, I got wisdom, I got peace, I got love, I got understanding, I got compassion, I got mercy, not only on others, but for myself.
This is why it's important to understand grace. The world and the church don't understand grace. I'm sorry. They don't. They don't. They understand stories. They understand, the prophets. They understand sin. Believe me, you're a sinner. They understand all that, but they don't understand salvation. They don't understand transformation. They don't understand taking a lost soul and transforming it by the word of God into someone filled with grace so that they become saved. So that they can become saved and come into salvation and come into eternal life. My heart bleeds knowing how many lost souls are out there who are deceived, thinking they're going to have eternal life and they're going to leave this earth and they're going to understand grace. They're going to hear the voice of God. They're going to see the judgment and say, "Get behind me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." They're going to hear the truth. That's sad. Grace allows you to know God. He can't say, "Get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity," because grace gives you the ability to know Him. I know God. I know God. I'm not deceived by any false prophets that deceive the elect. You hear what I'm saying? Because that still small voice comes like an angel of light. And that little small voice comes as an angel of light and deceives your heart. And your heart falls short of the grace of God. It falls short of the glory of God. And we have to protect our hearts. Listen, I look at everyone here and abroad good. Everyone is good in my eyes. But they're lost. And why they're lost is because they're lacking grace. And this is the job of us pastors here in this place, is to pour out and to give the grace of God. To give. My life was changed and was given the grace of God. It was given to me by the grace of God. By Him, through Him, to me, back to Him. I want to share something here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where Paul, he came out to begin to share people about his life, from where he came from and what happened. And I look at it as this is something that we today is here. It says, "It is doubtless non-profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Then he starts saying, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard in expressible words, which is not lawful for a man to even utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measures by the abundance of the revelations." Now this is when Paul begins to say, "A thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measures. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." And before I read on, I want to express something. Because I believe as we become
acknowledged into this grace, I believe God has a way of keeping us all humble. How many people would agree with that one? Those that have received grace. Those who have received salvation and is beginning to be transformed by the knowledge of God. Grace. We've all come to a place of our minds being renewed. Some of us have been born into grace, which is a real great blessing. Some of us had some experiences and realized that this grace that came into our life began to create, I would say, tribulation, trials, sufferings. Like you suffer without a cause, don't you? That's how you know when you're called. That's when you know you're chosen. When you feel as though that you just sit there, mind your own business, and all of a sudden you got troubles, trials, persecution, people coming against you like so-and-so. When you don't even deserve it. When I heard about the things that were said, I was blown away. Because you pour your heart out. You give when you don't even have. You're a living sacrifice for others. But yet still persecuted. Still judged. Still hated without a cause. You've given your life to someone, yet that someone doesn't even understand or see what you've done. That's persecution. That's suffering. That's trials and tribulations. That's a thorn in your side. We all have thorns. The crazy thing is God chastens those he loves. Grace gives you this knowledge so that we don't feel sorry for ourselves. Grace gives us this knowledge so that we don't get angry and point fingers at others. Grace gives us this knowledge to comfort our hearts and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Grace gives us the power to be healed of the hurts. Because you can't say you're not hurting during persecutions, sufferings. When people come against you and all you've done was showed them love. How many have felt that way before or felt that way now? And I want you to know, we need this grace. Because this grace washes over our hearts. This grace gives us the knowledge to be able to see. If not, our feelings will, in the soul, would consume us with rage or bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment. That's not what God wants. God wants us to continue to love unconditionally. So that we don't lose a relationship. And if that relationship is never restored, you don't lose your life. Because anger, resentment, hatred, bitterness is like cancer to the body. Not only one individual, but the group. We have to be careful. And understand the importance of grace and give us the knowledge so that we can walk away and brush ourselves off and stay in that place of peace. How quick are we so to be taken from peace? I know myself. My God, I fought with a situation that took about a week for me to get over. Because I was offended. And I was like, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from this evil one. Deliver me. Because I'm offended. Has anyone gotten offended before? Has anyone been tormented by hurts. Couldn't understand why persecution comes against you. Why someone would hurt you, stab you in the back, defile your name, your credibility, your reputation, write your name on the wall and draw dirty things or bad things, exploit your credibility or your character, say vile things to you. How many people have been hurt and offended? Let's be real. Listen, I believe God's going to set us free today. I believe that there's a deliverance coming. And when God sets us in a place of being set free from these things, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to operate under a grace, and God's going to have like vengeance on your enemies. It's going to be like heaping hot coals over their heads. And they're either going to come to a place of repentance, or they're going to flee out of your life forever, and they'll never ever affect you ever again. God's desire for you in your life is to protect your peace. Because peace and joy is your salvation. Peace and joy is part of your life. Peace and joy, without that, you don't have an inheritance. Peace and joy, you don't have a place in the kingdom of God. Peace and joy and righteousness, that's a whole different story. But let's just focus on peace and joy, because that's something that we can really obtain. How many times has your peace been stolen over an offense, over some immature, uneducated individual who had no grace in their life? Yet our salvation is being challenged, and it's being challenged by darkness. But you know what God's doing? He's raising you up to be stronger in Him. Because when you get weak, His power comes over you and you become strong in Him. This is a transformation from coming out of the soul and into the spirit. God's desire for all of us is to be transformed. You cannot know God and be in the soul. You cannot know God and be in the soul. How many times do I have to say that in order for you to get it? You cannot know God. You cannot serve God. You cannot even be around God if you are in the soul. The only thing that allows you to come to God is through grace. It's the only thing. So we got all these ministries out there telling them to come to the altar and accept, and now you're going to be into the kingdom of God and you're going to come to heaven and the whole nine yards. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're duped. This is why it's so important to get this out. We are living in perilous times. How many people realize that we are living in an age that is getting perilous? Now you can stick your head in the sand and pretend that nothing's going on and just try to protect yourself with your peace and joy, but at the same time, that's not going to save your soul. You got to pull your head out of the sand, understand what's going on around us, and begin to rise up and grab hold of what is being said. Grace is the only thing that brings us to salvation. You can only understand grace through the Spirit. The soul cannot comprehend grace. The soul is like, what the heck are you talking about? I don't understand one thing. And that's okay, because I repeat myself a lot. And if you stay here and keep listening, you'll eventually get it. Because the soul will eventually die and the spirit will actually live. And then eventually, as the spirit lives, you will understand what grace is being said. With that being said, don't get frustrated
or get upset. I speak in waves. If you get two words of what I said, you have done much better than if you heard nothing at all. We are transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Grace brings us into glory. So when you begin to understand grace, you are transformed to another level of glory. That transformation is becoming spirit. The job that God has for us is to come out of the mortality that we're in. We're all mortal. Amen? And the job that God has given us is to be transformed into immortality. To come out of the nature, the carnal nature, and to be transformed into the divine nature, the spiritual nature, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit only comes through grace. We're here to give you that grace. How many of us want to be successful? Okay, now you can succeed under your soulish will. There's success in the will. You have lots of people who have attained success in the will. But if I could tell you that there's a lot more success that you can accomplish, would you like that? You know, sometimes we have to repeat things over and over and over until we learn. How would you like to not repeat things over and over and over until we learn? How about just going through it one time or not going through it at all? Amen. Well, this is the importance of grace. Grace gives you the wisdom of God and the discernment to be able to see so that we don't fall into these traps and we don't fall into wickedness and deceitfulness and evilness. It says here, and I'll be brief because we got to move on. It says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient. This is God speaking to Paul because he says, you know, Satan is buffeting me. His flesh was getting self-pity. He was starting to feel bad about himself. Guilt and condemnation was coming in. And he was like getting really disturbed because he didn't do anything wrong. How many people feel this way? You didn't do anything wrong, but yet all this garbage is falling on your lap. Okay. I want you to know that God is actually allowing these things to take place because he wants you to come into grace. So he says to Paul, basically, shut up. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's saying, listen, you little baby, toughen up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Your feelings are correct. You didn't do anything wrong. These people here, they lack understanding. They only see themselves. They don't see what you did. They're blind, they're deaf, they're dumb. You're smarter than that. You're better than that. Through our weakness, God makes us strong. The foolish ones stay weak. We never get over it. We can never get over it. We harbor what is called bitterness. That's bad. Bitterness is bad. I'm going to say it again. Bitterness is bad. Bitterness will rot you from the inside out. Bitterness will take you to the dwelling place of hell. Bitterness will cause damnation in your life. Bitterness will bring division. Bitterness will destroy. Bitterness is probably the worst thing you ever want
in your life. Lack of grace produces a root of bitterness. And God wants to heal those that might have a root of bitterness in their lives. I have one more verse here to read. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without such, no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The last thing God would want is for any of us to fall into this trap, not understanding grace, but falls into bitterness. God loves those who he chastens. And I want you to understand today, when God begins to draw you to him, and this is, I always kind of tie a warning up, because when you come to a ministry that has grace and is beginning to pour out grace and it's filled with glory, your life is going to be thrown upside down. And you're going to be put on a trial or a testing only to produce strength in you. So when you have a call on your life, or God's tugging on your heart and he's pulling you into him, you're going to be tested. You're going to come under persecution. You're going to be chastened. How many people understand this one? It's like, oh boy, I really want to know God now, right? Oh boy, I want to come to God and now I'm going to be chastened. Oh boy. But it's only for the saving of your soul. It's like a workout. It's like going through boot camp. If you don't take the abuse and strengthen your heart, and your heart becomes strong, you're never going to be established for the greatness that God has for you. See, God has big challenges ahead of you. God has greatness in store for you. But in order to achieve these greatnesses, you need a strong heart, or you're not going to be able to deal. How many people are following me on this? So the only way that you're going to be able to deal is if God brings these little thorns in your side and then builds knowledge of grace in the midst of it. Then you can like let these things fall off your back like a water on a duck's back, rather than carrying it with all these suitcases filled of baggage. And I don't know about anyone that can carry all this weight and feel good. I mean, let somebody else carry my bags. I'm going to go walk without any bags and I'm going to be free. This is what God wants. He wants us all walking without this baggage, without this weight on our shoulders. When you're offended and you have bitterness, you can't think right. Your whole day is distorted. Your whole week is distorted. It keeps coming up in your mind. You can't be set free. You got a problem and you just can't get rid of it. You neglect people around you, things around you, obligations, everything. You neglect because you just can't think right. Depending on how bad the bitterness is. depending on how much we lack grace. Some people think they got over bitterness. Some people think that they got over something that offended them because it's not on the top of their list. They learned to bury it. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's still alive. And it's deep inside of you. And it's eating you alive. I hope and pray that I'm going to close this message in a minute. And I want us to think back. And if the Holy Spirit, God, reveals to you a root of bitterness, He's going to heal it. He's going to set you free today if you're willing to let go. I believe that God has given us today the power to take the axe at this root and to chop so that you can move on with your life. Some of these roots of bitterness is causing you not to take the step again. Some of these roots of bitterness that is sitting inside of you brings up every excuse in the book to cause you to make that move that you've moved before that you were so hurt by. And rob a life for yourself and others. Some of us have opportunities in front of us, but because we've had a loss, we're afraid to make that same move again. Whether it was in business, whether it was in relationship, whether it was relationship or in business. Maybe three times, business and a relationship. Because what really makes up our life? Relationship and business. And we get hurt. We get offended. We have bitterness. Because of grace, we can be healed by it and move on and establish something greater. Maybe the first one was not the right one. And it was just God moving us on to something better. And maybe we have to just receive grace and trust God. And if God makes us repeat the same mistake again, well, if we have the reverence, fear of the Lord, when problems occur, where our eyes are looking up and saying, okay, Lord, give me the wisdom now. And maybe He'll empower you with more grace, because grace is the wisdom of God I look at. And then maybe you might not lose your temper. Maybe you'll let them slide. Maybe you will look at yourself differently. Maybe you'll look at them differently. Whatever it is, it's going to be better. The root of bitterness is only there to kill, steal, and destroy your future. Those that are young, I'm grateful for you to hear this message, because you haven't gone through a lot of offenses that developed a lot of bitterness. But those that are of age, who have maybe went through three or four marriages, or went through three or four relationships, or went through three or four business opportunities, or went through five or six, you know, transition investments or whatever it might be. I believe poverty comes from bitterness. I believe, me personally, loneliness comes from bitterness. You're alone because you got bitterness. Whether it came from a very young age of a child, or as you were growing up, or whatever, you're alone because of bitterness. Bitterness sometimes comes in a form of anger, judgment, resentment, hatred. It's all soul. It's all soul. And that's why the soul is lost. Grace transforms the soul and gives you life. How many people are grabbing this one? I hope and pray that we all receive this message, this grace today, because it will give you a life. You know, I look at my life and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I too am looking deeper and deeper and coming to that place of grace so that it doesn't rob me from a better life tomorrow. You don't know what it's going to be like if you said, I do. You don't know what it's like because in the back of our minds, bitterness is speaking to us and causing us to receive lies and judgments. And it's saying negative things. If we really truly understood how bitterness works, we would be very quick to get rid of it out of our lives. It comes like an angel of light. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. You're the one that was offended. You're the one that was hurt. Yada, 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 yada. They didn't do it to you. Or they didn't do it to them. They did it to you. And then it just kills on you. It's like cancer eating you alive. And slowly but surely, you miss out on a beautiful life God wants to give you. If we can have every head bowed for a moment and every eye closed, I'm going to ask God to begin to heal our hearts of bitterness today. That we can obtain this grace that was given to us today. And I'm going to ask, I'm not going to call anybody up for personal ministry today. I believe that the Holy Spirit is working on us in our seats right here. God is saying that I will take the axe to your bitterness. He's going to begin to reveal to you right now situations in your life that is holding you into bitterness, and they may be recent or they be maybe way back when. But as he begins to reveal these moments, don't dwell on one. If he revealed it to you, start thanking him and wait for the next one. Get him to cleanse every area of bitterness in your life right now. As soon as he reveals one to you, thank him and wait for the next one. Thank him and wait for the next one. Thank him and wait for the next one. Because he's going to send, I see, like a golden axe. And this golden axe is going to begin to chop at your root. And it may take a week or two to heal. But I'm going to tell you right now, your life is going to change. Opportunity is going to open up. Relationships are going to be restored. And if they're not restored, they will never come back and haunt you ever again. They will be gone permanently out of your life, out of your memory, out of your physical view. When you thank him, I want you to know that that root of bitterness is going to want to try to spring back up. I need your help. Resist, and it will flee. You cannot go back and dwell on the root that has just been cut. The soul is going to want to take you there. The soul is going to want to bring you back to your vomit. The soul is going to try to lead you back down that road. But if you overcome, you will be transformed into another level of glory. You will have victory over your life. You will have overcame this area, and you will no longer do what you don't want to do. Now, this is something that I need you to do with me. I need you to coat this in your heart. I need you now to say in your heart, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't have the grace. They don't have the knowledge. They didn't know what they were doing. Nor did you have the grace. So, Father, not only forgive them, for they know not what they do, but forgive me, for I know not what I did. And as you forgive yourself and those, our Father in heaven has just forgave us. And we will never, ever have to return back to poverty again. I'm just going to begin to declare some of the things that I see that God is chopping axes to. There has been some who have been deeply hurt by their fathers. There have some who have been deeply hurt by business partners. There have some that have been deeply hurt by their own son. There has some that have been deeply hurt by their, I want to say, career, based on the covering of their work. Some were disappointed in their mothers. Not hurt, but disappointed. Some have experienced bitterness in their heart due to a loss. Some have developed bitterness because they have not. God is still working. If you heard some of those that rang into your spirit, know this, He's working on your behalf. Moving forward, receive this grace that has been given to us today. Allow God to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Let God lead us by His hand and try not to lean on our own understanding, and let these past hurts cause us to not walk through doors or opportunities or relationships. But if God is bringing us there, let us trust Him. Let us open our arms. Let us be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Not be so quick to move, but to be patient, slow to anger. Embrace this grace that He's given us. And Father, I pray that You empower us more as we leave today. Empower us even more. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen.
You want to close us?
I'll get Sam. Sam, come on and give us a close. And Sam's going to close us. I want to bless everyone here. Bless you. I hope, like Sam said earlier, continue to keep us in prayer. Prayer, we are big supporters on you praying for us. God hears your prayer. Don't think, because you're just starting to know Him, that your prayers aren't effective. I'm going to tell you right now, your prayers are effective. God hears you, and we need your prayers. We're always coming under attacks. But through the grace of God, He has given us that eyes and that discernment to know. But I believe that we are on the verge of a huge breakthrough and a tremendous revival. God is pouring out His Spirit in this hour. And darkness does not want this message to go out. As Pastor Tim said, the war in heaven was started because the knowledge of grace was being given. And they warred in heaven before grace was even given, so that grace would not be given. Here we are on earth, and the war is still going on, because darkness does not want this message of grace or glory to go out. And so we need your prayers, so that the prisons are shaken and those prison doors are opened, and that we can continue to move forward. Amen? Amen. So I am challenging you this week when you see us, or you come to remembrance, or you hear our voice, begin to pray. And if you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Pray any way that the Lord leads you and guides you. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand to Pastor Sam.
With Pastor taking the axe to the root, it was like God was saying that we've graduated.
Amen. I like that. Yeah.
He was saying that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. And he said, now you can adopt this phrase. He wants us to start using this little 8-word phrase. Start using it in your life and start believing it. He said, this is the phrase, when you see me, you see the Father. That's for every one of us out there. It's about time we start adopting that phrase and stop saying, it's not me, it's God. It's not me, it's, no. It is you. When I see you, I see the Father. Stop separating yourself from God and start adopting and taking on Him and start believing in who you are. When you see me, you see the Father. When I see you, I see the Father. If you don't believe it, nobody else is going to believe it either. We got to start somewhere. So start embracing this. God said you've graduated. He's taken the axe to the root. Start embracing who He's called you. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. We are the brethren. We are the ones. So start believing it. When you see me, you see the Father. And say it to people. Nothing's going to shock them more than when you say it to somebody. But you know what? They need to hear that. They don't want to be sent to God. They want to be able to go to a person until they're ready to go to God. You can't say go to an imaginary being in the sky. You got to say, listen to the words I have. I'm here in flesh. I'm here to help you. And then give them to God. But there's got to be a start somewhere. Amen? Amen. Let's have a great week, guys.